I certainly hope you don't get tired of hearing me tell you that Jesus is coming. Yeah, he's coming. He's coming. Don't you ever get tired of hearing that. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, as believers, that should be our hope. That should be our hope. If I was to ask you if you were excited about the coming of the Lord, and I have asked that question before, and I've gotten an unexpected answer. If I was to ask you if you're excited about the coming of the Lord, if you are a believer, I would naturally expect you to say yes. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I have had people tell me that I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I'm so excited about that. But one of the concerns that I have, they say, and this is a legitimate concern. I have loved ones. I have friends that don't know Jesus yet. They're not born again yet. But I have over the years asked folk, and I got the surprise answer that no, I'm not. And you are saved, right? Oh yeah, I'm saved. But I just don't think I'm quite ready. I guess what they were telling me is there's some things they're doing or some things they want to do, they want to go ahead and do for a while longer before Jesus comes. Yeah. But he's coming. And that's the reason we don't know exactly when he's coming. We can look at the times and the seasons, but we can't tell you exactly what day, what week, what month, not even what year. Now, I don't know all the reasons for that. That's God's business. Amen? I say that's God's business. He made the decision to keep that away from us, but he did tell us to watch the signs. Word of God said, watch the signs, watch the time. But one thing I happen to know, and I believe you do too, happen to know that you understand human nature, because think about some teenagers, for example, and the parents got to go away for a few hours, maybe overnight or whatever, and they laid the rules down. No friends over, no partying. You get your rooms cleaned up, wash the dishes, or whatever your chores may be. You make sure you get all that done while we gone, because when we get back, we want to see a clean house. We want to see a clean house. And so we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow around 9 a.m., so make sure this house is clean when we get back. Now, some kids, thank God not all of them, some kids say, we know what time they're coming back. Get on the phone, call over a few friends, and we're going to party for a while tonight, and then we'll make sure that everything's all clean before Mama and Daddy get back. And they'll never know what happened, and we'll be all innocent, and we'll be ready for their return. Well, that's just human nature, isn't it? If God told us exactly when Jesus Christ was coming back, some of us, not all of us, but some of us would party hard and do everything we wanted to do, maybe up to about a week before Jesus was to return, and then we'd all be around the altar repenting and just doing everything that we should have been doing our entire life. But simply because we do not know when the Lord is going to return, what did the Bible tell us? Be what? Be ready. Stay ready. Glory to God. Amen. I've had people tell me, man, I just want to have, I want to have a little fun. I want to sow some wild oats, and then I'm going to come back to the Lord. I had a person tell me that one time. I don't think they ever got back. My wife and I went and talked to them about the Lord and shared, they knew the Lord. This person did, but there was a time in their lives when they decided, and I, you know, I'm not going in detail because some of you may know some of these people, but they decided that they were going to party a while. Matter of fact, we sat and talked to them. Kathy and I did. We sat and talked to them, about their lifestyle, and we were told that, you know what, when I was growing up, my parents wouldn't let me do anything. You know, I wanted to party, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, and they just wouldn't let me. So now that I'm grown and on my own, and I don't have anybody to answer to, I'm just going to go out and do my thing for a while. I'll be back. They never got back, not to my knowledge. I hope they did. I hope before they left here, they had the presence of mind to repent before God for their decision. Amen. Y'all still here? We got to stay ready, don't we? Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says this. I'm going to read the 23rd verse. Well, I'll just begin at verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Hallelujah. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, hallelujah, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? If I didn't read any more scripture tonight, that's enough right there to shout about. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 23 again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Or if you're reading King James Bible, it says by the word of God. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Look at verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but what? But the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. And one thing that we must know is that we have been born again by incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. We have been born again by the word of God, or through the hearing of the word of God, we have eternal life. Glory to God. And God is so good. Now, there's sometimes, and I've even had to deal with this in my own life, no time recent. This has been years and years and years ago. But how many of you know that the devil lie to you? And how many of you know that he'll try to deceive you? Huh? Yes, he will. And I had to struggle, and some of you heard me tell this. I had to struggle with doubt, and I began to question my own salvation. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. That's not a comfortable place to be. That's not a comfortable place to be. Now, you have to understand, though, all this was taking place in my head, not in my heart. And I think it started, and I'm not really, I know it didn't come from God, I know that. But you know, back in the old days, I say older days, but years past, sometime believers would begin to compare themselves with other believers. In other words, your testimony may not have been the same as their testimony. And you may hear someone's testimony and say, but bro, I just want to tell you, when I got saved, you know, I saw this light. And out of this light, I saw an angel. And then they have this, you know, fantastic testimony, and you think, well, I didn't see any lights. I didn't see any lights. Nothing happened to me. I just received Jesus Christ by faith. I received him by faith. I got saved by faith. Do you listen to me? Do you know that you can get saved, born again, have eternal life by faith, not feeling a thing? Because it's not by feelings. The earth don't have to shake. It don't have to thunder. It don't have to lighten. And so, and I've been being a minister and sharing the gospel with people over the years, and I've heard people have this question, you know, why didn't God visit me the same way he visits such and such? You know, is what I have genuine? You know, both of us, and when I say both of us, I'm referring to my wife and I. You know, we've had different experiences with the Lord over the years, and I've shared some of mine with you. But when she got born again, she had a different experience than I had. She was in this church. And you saw the glory cloud come in. She didn't even know what it was, did you? She was up at the front of the door, right up at front, at the mourner's bench. Where did the glory cloud come in? Back door. What? Front door. She saw it. Am I telling the truth? Now, when I got saved, I didn't see a glory cloud. And you probably didn't either. See, we can't, listen, we can't get caught up in other folks' experiences. We just got, we gotta stay with the Word of God. Because we just read it. The Word of God endures forever. Paul got saved on the Damascus Road. Can you imagine all of us having to fly over and find the Damascus Road and walk down it in order to get born again? No, that'd be ridiculous. Amen. So don't get caught in the trap of comparing your experiences with the Lord with somebody else's experiences. Thank God for their experience. If it was God, I rejoice with them. Don't you? But I know him because of what his word says. His word says we're saved by faith. It's not by works. Hallelujah. And so back in years past, a lot of folks was comparing their experiences with other folks' experiences. Anybody else ever had to deal with that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I don't think the camera's not on you. Raise your hand. All right. Amen. Now, yes, we just being human, aren't we? We had to learn. We had to learn. I didn't get saved the way they told me that I was supposed to get saved. My wife went down to some folks see that as strange nowadays, but she went down to the mourner's bench. I went down to the mourner's bench. She saw the glory cloud and she got saved. I don't think I got anything. I tried to get my mother to explain to me how to get saved. All she could tell me is if you go to the mourner's bench, you'll jump up and you'll shout, and you know, some of you don't understand that. I ain't got time to go into all the details, but we get saved by faith. And listen, if I left here tonight, going to the other side, I'll know that I'm going to the other side. Why? Because, let me read it to you again. I'll just read verse 24. All flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but this is where I'm going. This is it. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of, get a hold of this. The word of the Lord endures forever. It never changes. Hallelujah. And when we trust his word, we're on solid ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, let me go on a little bit further. We talked about this some weeks back, but I want to cover it again. We're talking about Christianity and the church. The church is very, 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 I don't have enough varies to tell you how important the church is in this earth, on this earth today. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back. I say back, but let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. How many of you saved and you know it and nobody can talk you out of it? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. When Jesus starts talking, I love to listen. How about you? In Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say it again.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now God was not building his church on Peter. And the gates of hell, listen at this, and the gates of hell shall not, what? Shall not prevail against it. Glory, hallelujah. And I'll go ahead and read verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Jesus himself said that hell would never prevail against the church. In other words, hell would never defeat the church. The gates of hell would never defeat the church. Get that in your heart. The church is not going down. Yes, there are some that will fall away. Yes, there are some that will get off into strange doctrine and so forth. But hear me good. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will withstand anything that hell throws at it. Because greater is he that's in the church, that's us, isn't it, than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Ever since Jesus ascended to heaven, they've been trying to destroy the church. They have not succeeded, and they will not. You hear me? They will not. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, it's upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The rock of ages. Glory to God. The church is built on that eternal rock. You still here?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church, but yet we have Jesus telling some folks on that day, depart from me because I never knew you. But Well, that'll make you tremble a little bit. Make sure you got your ducks in a row. Isn't that right? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Just flip back to the 7th chapter. You mind if I read a little bit? Like I say, when Jesus is speaking, we definitely need to be listening. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Beware of who? There are prophets of God. And then there are false prophets. Amen. I think I touched on this past Sunday. You know, seemed like everybody got to have a handle on their name. I'm glad God knows who I am. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. If a person's called is a called prophet, they need to be honored and respected for the office that they stand in. You hear me? I say, you hear me? Amen. Just like we need to honor and respect the apostles, the evangelists, pastors also, and teachers for the office that they stand in. I want to say this, then we're going to move on. God don't have no little people. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm honored to be one of his pastors. And if all I'm ever called is Pastor James, that's good enough for me. That's an honor to be chosen by God to be his pastor. I'm not scraping and scratching and trying to get somewhere else. I know what God is doing in me. And a matter of fact, didn't Jesus say we'll know them by their fruit? Huh? Amen. Amen. Jesus said that we'll know them by their fruit. If it's an apple tree, it's going to produce apples, isn't it? Amen. If it's a peach tree, it's going to produce what? It'd be a strange thing to see apples growing on a peach tree. So let me read on. Beware of false prophets who come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. Hallelujah. Verse 21, not everyone, now hear me good here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. Let me stop right there just a moment. You see that? Verse 22. This is Jesus speaking here. He said, many will say to me in that day. Many means many, don't it? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Mm-hmm. We're told, listen to me, we're told not to judge, right? Right? We're told not to judge. But we are told to be fruit inspectors. Didn't Jesus say we'll know them by their fruit? Well, how are you going to know them by their fruit if you're not going to inspect their fruit? If you're not going to take a look at the fruit, if you got a dog and he says, bah, something's wrong somewhere. Something's not right. But listen to what Jesus said here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is verse 24, and does them, I will liken him to who? A wise man who built his house on a rock. That word that endures forever. You know, I find that when I walk in the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, I find that I am in that place where God wants me to be at that particular time. That makes sense. God will have you right where you need to be to touch somebody else's life simply because you chose to walk in His Word and you chose to follow His Spirit, to be led by His Spirit. And if you're going to, by the way, can I say something else? You cannot properly be led by the Spirit if you're not in obedience to the Word of God. Now, you got a lot of folk acting spiritual, acting spiritual, acting spiritual. But I've been around a while, folks. I've been saved a long time. My daughter tells me sometimes I say that too much. But I don't know if I do or not. Now she's blaming Jews. But anyway, I think I'm about 53 years old. 53, spiritually speaking, I'm 53 years old. And I'm going to tell you something, I've seen a lot in 53 years. I got saved in 69, by the way. See, I said it again. And I've seen a lot, I've experienced a lot. I've seen some strange stuff in the name of Jesus. That's what they said. And I've seen some tremendous things, glory be to God, that I knew God was in. I was in this meeting one time, and some of you in here, very few of you though, but some of you was in this meeting with me. And I was already in the ministry at that particular time, but I was at this meeting at this church. And the speaker at the church asked, there was a number of us ministers, and we were all sitting on the pulpit, and the minister asked a number of us to help him pray, and you know, he was kind of strange. I thought, but that's my opinion. But, so, you know, he was waving handkerchief, whatever it was he was doing. He was doing some strange stuff. And, you know, folks were just falling out on the floor. I mean, just a pile up around the altar area was just a stack of people just on the floor. Now, I understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And I understand the anointing. I've seen it happen many, many times. I've seen it happen with yours truly, that the power of God's just present. But so he asked us to go out among the crowd before they fail and begin to lay hands on some of them. And so, you know, actually this was after they fell. And so I'm young in all this. So I'm trying to make my way, you know, you got people on the floor, and I'm trying to make my way over to the next person. And so when I stepped, I almost lost my balance. And so my right foot, when I came down, I came down right, the woman was laying on the floor, my foot came down right between her leg, below the knee, okay? Now, I'm thinking, I'm not comfortable with this, so I want to hurry up and get my leg somewhere else. I'm not comfortable with this. And I'm thinking she out in the spirit. What she did was locked her leg, and I couldn't get my foot out. This is in church, folks. You remember that? I know it's bad. I haven't called any names. Matter of fact, if that woman walked in here today, I wouldn't know her. I didn't know her then, don't know her now. My concern was rescuing my foot. That was my concern. And so, hope she wasn't injured, but I got my foot out. And then I went back up and sat down. Let the rest of them do the ministry. But what I'm just saying, you know, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. But she was determined I was not going to get my foot loose. But I did. Amen. I don't know why I told y'all that. But you see strange things sometimes. Amen. Y'all still here? Amen. Let me go ahead and read. So, where was I? 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Somebody say amen. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was what? Founded on the rock. Hallelujah. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, Jesus did all this teaching right here from verse 15 all the way down to verse 27. Let me go ahead and read 28 and 29. So it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one, what? Having authority and not as the scribes. Let me tell you something. The word of God endures forever, folks. Let's stay with Jesus. Let's stay with the Word of God. Now, I'm getting ready to close this out because there's some other things I want to share with you and kind of tie it all together, but I don't have time tonight. Hallelujah. But just kind of keep that in mind, and hopefully you'll remember it the next time we come together. But just remember this. Jesus said, and we won't turn there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 14, 13 and 14. He said, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now, let me tie this together, what I've told you already, and then we'll quit. You got to know that you're born again. You got to know that you're born again because the Word of God endures forever. Know that the church will never cease to exist before Jesus comes back. You hear me? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is further proof that there's a church. The church will be here when Jesus come back on the cloud. If not, he won't have anybody to come back to get but the dead folk. Amen. Hallelujah. Know this. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Know this. You and I are the light of the world and the salt of this earth. We are the church on this earth. Let's continue to be the church. Amen. And I want to, like I said, I got some more. I'm kind of stopping in the middle of what I'm teaching, but that's okay. We'll continue it. But I want to close by saying this to you. whatever you do, keep a biblical worldview. Hallelujah. Can I say that again? Wherever you go, whatever you do, always keep a biblical worldview. In other words, you view everything, politics, I don't care what it is, you view it through the Word of God. The Word of God endures forever. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Oh, I could say so much more, but I won't. I'm going to let y'all go. But take me serious. Keep a biblical worldview. This is what we abide by right here. The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. The Word of God. There is no black religion, white religion, Asian religion, whatever. If you're born again, we need to be conducting ourselves according to His Word, knowing that His words will never fail. Amen. I hope this blessed you tonight. Amen. Go back over the verses, study them, ask God to give you further revelation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish your will in our lives and in this earth as we